estrogen blocking drug. If you wish to avoid hormone replacement therapy and also decrease your risk of osteoporosis, consider raloxifene, an estrogen blocker that decreases your risk of breast cancer and helps protect bone. Researchers recommend a supplement strategy as part of an established clinical trial. I believe they are right, and so recommend a supplement strategy for women at high risk as part of a clinical trial. The supplement strategy may ultimately be what most American women choose. Here's why. Many doctors don't believe that most Americans will adapt to a largely plant-based, high-fiber, low-glucose, low-diet. The evidence is on their side. Vanishingly few Americans are willing to eat fruits and vegetables, and even fewer are likely to eat a truly vegetarian diet. For that reason, a unique new strategy is emerging in cancer centers across the country that involves using powerful supplements and a few food changes to bring about a dramatic drop in the estrogen effect and its booster effect. Since dietary habits are so difficult to change, why not just offer a few food substitutions? That's exactly the approach that several top centers are taking. The bottom line is that you have to be able to eat a simple diet year in and year out. I would far rather see you embrace the foods described in the previous sections, but if you can't, consider this program. Determining your level of risk. Listen carefully to the following descriptions of risk to determine your own level of risk. Average. You are at average risk if you have no family history of breast cancer, or if just one first or second degree relative contracted breast cancer after age 50. First degree relatives are sisters, daughters, and mothers. Second degree relatives are first cousins, grandmothers, and aunts. Moderately increased. You are at moderately increased risk if you have at least one first or second degree relative who was diagnosed with breast cancer before age 50, or if two relatives on the same side of the family were diagnosed with breast cancer. High. You have a high degree of risk if three or more first or second degree relatives on the same side of the family were diagnosed with breast cancer or ovarian cancer. Extremely high. You carry the BRCA gene mutation or already have contracted breast cancer. A woman with an inherited copy of either BRCA1 or BRCA2 has an 87% risk of developing breast cancer by age 70, with a much greater risk in the premenopausal years. Daughters. Intergenerational breast cancer prevention. The strongest effects of diet on breast cancer may be the earliest. The development of the human breast begins during the first few months in the uterus. The hormones and toxins it is exposed to then and for the next two decades will have an enormous impact on the development of breast cancer. The frightening proposition is that this could be a cancer developed in childhood and adolescence that shows up in middle age. The failure of many breast cancer prevention trials in American women has prompted doctors at Harvard and other institutions to study intergenerational breast cancer prevention. This is the hottest field in breast cancer prevention today. It is called intergenerational because women aim their preventive efforts at their daughters and granddaughters as well as themselves. In this section, we'll look at what you could do, what you should do, and where the risks outweigh the advantages. Clearly, any lifelong measure requires the most meticulous care imaginable. With fast-developing tissues, the wrong move could be bad news. Why do scientists believe that early development is so important? Here are the clues. After the atom bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, breast cancers developed far more frequently among young women who were in their teens and early 20s when the bombs fell. Adult survivors did not show excess breast cancer development. The assumption is that the immature breast tissue of these young women was far more vulnerable than that of older women. What evidence is there that early diet has an effect? Although women who come to the United States from countries with lower risks of breast cancer, such as Japan, do develop a higher rate of breast cancer here, they don't reach the same high rate as American women. It is their daughters and granddaughters who do reach the same high rate as other American women. The smart money says that the foods these second and third generation Japanese American women ate in America from early childhood accounted for the increased risk. Most serious researchers believe that prevention of breast cancer should begin very early. So do breast cancer survivors. Deborah McCurdy, the breast cancer survivor we met earlier in this program, has her entire family on the breast cancer diet. The following are her words. My whole family eats this way now. I've got four kids, 14, 10, 8, and 5, and they know all about fats, the right kinds of fats, the wrong kinds of fats, and it's just not a big deal. It's good to start in childhood. Diet may be critical in childhood and adolescence in taking steps to prevent cancer and other diseases. They start eating right early, and they just follow it through as they get older. My big concern is that I just don't want my children to go through what I went through. And I want to be around to see them grow up and be healthy. This diet is a good way to do that. Roadmap. We'll look at each stage of development and at the most interesting and important interventional strategies. When do you start? Does a mother have to drink soy milk while she is pregnant and nursing? Do young girls have to restrict their intake of fat? Do adolescents need to eat a vegetarian diet to prevent cancer? You can't start too early, or can you? Here's a look at the measures you can take for yourself and for your daughter or granddaughter. The fetus. The excess estrogen that a fetus is exposed to in utero does increase the child's risk of breast cancer. Twins who are exposed to higher than normal amounts of estrogen during pregnancy have higher rates of breast cancer later in life, concludes Nancy Potishman of the National Cancer Institute. Women who have eclampsia or preeclampsia, conditions with low estrogen levels, give birth to babies who were exposed to much less estrogen in utero. These children have 50% to 80% less breast cancer risk than infants born of normal pregnancies. Since these conditions are dangerous to mother and child, you wouldn't want to mimic that condition. How else could you block estrogen? With estrogen blockers, such as soy. In fact, the most interesting and alluring food to eat during pregnancy is soy because of the possibility that the estrogen effect could be cut even before the baby was born. In laboratory animals, the idea works. Genistein, fed to pregnant rats, yielded a whopping 50% reduction in breast cancer in the offspring. The result should be the same in humans because rat and human mammary glands are very similar, says Coral Lamartiniere of the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Dr. Ken Setchell has already begun looking at this phenomenon in humans. He wanted to see if soy that mothers ate had any way of getting to the fetus. He compared samples of blood from the mother and from the fetus. Preliminary results show that the active ingredient, genistein, does cross the placenta, and levels can be measured in amniotic fluid. That means it gets to the fetus after the mother has consumed it. Is that something American mothers should try? The only absolute proof would come from long-term, placebo-controlled studies, but those would be way too costly and time-consuming to conduct. That leaves us only with the experience of Asian women who eat soy before, during, and after their pregnancies. Neither they nor their offspring seem to suffer any bad effects. The theoretical warning is for pregnant women because of the fear of retarding the growth of the fetus. In practice, this has never been observed in humans. If you're pregnant and thinking about taking soy for its estrogen effect, you'll want to discuss this carefully with your obstetrician. No supplements recommended in this program should be taken during pregnancy until thoroughly discussed with your obstetrician. Recommendation: monitor future research carefully. Infants. There are two key preventive strategies to consider: breastfeeding and soy formula. The longer a child is breastfed, the lower her chance of developing breast cancer. At the same time, the mother lowers her own risk. Breastfed infants have a 15 to 30% lower chance of developing breast cancer both before and after menopause. Breastfeeding also unloads from the breast chemical estrogens into breast milk. This is a risk-free and smart strategy to get your daughter off on the right foot and to drop your own risk of breast cancer. Breastfeeding also completes the maturation of the mother's breast so that it becomes less vulnerable to radiation, secondhand smoke, and other environmental hazards, as well as estrogen. The American Academy of Pediatrics now strongly recommends breastfeeding for a full 12 months, with infants taking no other drink or solids for the first 6 months. This protects babies from a variety of ailments and protects their mothers against premenopausal breast cancer and ovarian cancer. American women who breastfeed for a total of 2 years decrease their risk 20 to 30%. Infants drinking a soy formula have circulating blood levels of weak estrogens that are 13,000 to 20,000 times higher than their own estrogen production. This makes the use of these formulas controversial. They are having a biological effect, but is it strongly protective or harmful? That amount is 6 to 11 times more than is required to lengthen the menstrual cycle in premenopausal women. In other words, a very powerful dose. In rats, this has proved very helpful. We've been able to show that injections of genistein given to rats during either the neonatal or prepubertal periods results in about a 50% decrease of mammary tumors in adults, says Coralie Martinière. Soy formulas have been used now for 30 years without reports of adverse circumstances. Of U.S. babies, 29% consume soy formulas. Growth charts do not show growth retardation from soy, nor is bone development different. However, recent concern about potential adverse consequences has caused enough alarm in the United Kingdom and Australia for soy formula consumption to drop by half. Recommendation: consider breastfeeding to decrease your risk and that of your child. Consider soy only after careful discussion with your pediatrician. Childhood to menarche. Milk duct cells are the most unusual in the body because they are the only human cells that are not fully differentiated at birth. Because they are in this immature state, they are more easily stimulated by estrogen to divide and more susceptible to harm from cancer-causing substances. Only after a full-term pregnancy do these cells become fully mature. That leaves them at risk for at least the first 2 decades of a woman's life. When a woman is an adolescent or in her 20s, the milk duct breast cells are especially vulnerable to these changes. If a lifetime of estrogen exposure increases the risk of breast cancer, then those girls reaching menarche earliest would have the highest risk. In fact, that proves to be correct. Those girls who began menstruation at 14 or before have a 30% increased chance of breast cancer. Early menarche is bad news right across the board. Girls with early menarche before 12 years of age have significantly higher serum estradiol and lower sex hormone-binding globulin concentrations, and those differences remain an astounding 20 to 30 years later. This induces a higher degree of breast duct proliferation. That's why more and more researchers are looking for an early start at preventing breast cancer, to prevent risk that can last a lifetime. Girls with early menarche not only start producing estrogen earlier, they produce more estrogen. Why? The earlier menarche comes, the more likely that full and regular menstrual cycles begin early too. With later menarche, the opposite is true. Periods are often irregular for several years more, which means that full estrogen production is delayed well past menarche. A Finnish study proved just that point. Girls with menarche earlier than age 12 had ovulatory cycles 80% of the time within 1 to 2 years. By contrast, in girls with menarche at age 13 or later, it was about 4.5 years before even 50% of their cycles were ovulatory. So, as you can see, early menarche has long-term effects on lifelong estrogen production. Can food make a difference? Harvard's Dr. Graham Colditz is quoted as saying, "Simple dietary modification may contribute to delay in menarche and substantial reduction in lifetime risk of breast cancer." Childhood is an excellent time to establish a really healthful diet. Learning to eat a healthy diet as a child makes the job infinitely easier as an adult. Ernst Winder, president of the American Health Foundation, says that basic tastes are acquired by age 6. Avoid omega-6 fats. Courtney and I try to avoid feeding our own children polyunsaturated fats of any kind. This prevents the breast cells from ever acquiring the fats that cause the estrogen booster effect. Lower glucose load. We also try to keep all our carbohydrates in the low glycemic range. The syndrome of upper body obesity and high insulin levels is linked to a high risk of breast cancer. A group of French researchers proposes lowering glucose load in teenagers to prevent the syndrome before it starts. This also helps enormously in keeping weight under control, as will a high-fiber diet. Eat enough fiber. Fiber is the best single guard against binging in adolescence. Girls who eat too little fiber have an earlier menarche. Lower-calorie diet. The Norwegian study cited, of women born between 1930 and 1932 and exposed to famine at about the age of menarche, reflected a 13% decrease in death from breast cancer. This protection works all the way through the adult years, well past menopause. Clearly, this experiment was unintentional and excessive, but a moderate number of calories go a long way toward controlling weight and estrogen production. This is made far easier by a low glucose load diet that is high in fiber. Less body fat. Girls with excess body fat reach menarche earlier than thinner girls. Overweight kids become overweight adults, who then produce large amounts of estrogen throughout their adult lives. More physical activity. Pre-adolescent girls who engage in strenuous activities such as running, swimming, and ballet have later menarche than girls who do not. Girls who exercise also produce less estrogen, have a lower body weight, more favorable fat distribution, and fewer menstrual cycles. All this adds up to a 50% decreased risk. Vegetarian diet. Girls on vegetarian diets have later menarche in many studies. Girls who eat more meat have an earlier menarche. Soy, but only with caution. Dr. Ken Setchell says, "It's probably safe to say that early exposure is best. The earlier the change is made, the greater the long-term benefit is likely to be. The evidence? Look at Asian women who eat soy all through their lives and have lower breast cancer rates throughout their lifetime." However, many researchers are very cautious when it comes to this age group. Sure, large doses could help prevent breast cancer, but excessive amounts of soy in chimps does stunt growth. What parent would be willing to risk a major drop in stature by feeding his or her child a soy-rich diet that is so low in calories that growth is impaired? Can you imagine what scorn your friends would heap on you for keeping your daughter artificially a little girl when their own daughters were already developing breasts and dating? This could be a hugely humiliating experience for many little girls. It's really a question that society has to ask after much more data is in. In traditional Asian diets, soy makes sense, but for others, the data is just not there yet. Growth charts. Clearly, obsessive amounts of exercise and very low-calorie diets will prevent breast cancer, but at what cost in terms of other risks to an adolescent's health? If you are determined to delay your daughter's menarche, it's really critical to follow her growth charts carefully to be certain that you aren't stunting her growth. Her diet would have to be very restrictive and her exercise program very strenuous. That is, near that of an elite class athlete, to have such an effect. Recommendation: consider following all of the above measures with the exception of taking soy, which should be discussed carefully with your pediatrician. Adolescence to first full-term birth. Breast tissue is at its very greatest risk when it is undergoing its fastest development. DNA damage appears to accumulate most rapidly from menarche to time of first birth, says Harvard's Graham Colditz. Thus, greater understanding of potential for a diet rich in vitamins, including antioxidants, deserves prompt attention, as this may offer important potential to reduce lifetime risk. Adolescence is the time of greatest vulnerability to any part of the pathways that cause cancer. Cells in the breast are both rapidly dividing and growing. This highly sensitive tissue represents a prime opportunity for genetic mistakes to occur. Too many X-rays, exposure to pesticides, cigarette smoke, excess estrogen, and other chemicals all require the maximum amount of chemoprotection. Breast tissue does not finish its development until a woman has completed a full-term delivery. Measures that cut the estrogen effect and the estrogen pathway. Adolescence continues to be a time when foods that could hurt you should be scrupulously avoided. Those include polyunsaturated fats, trans fatty acids, red meats, any foods with the potential for high organochlorine concentrations. Measures that protect the milk ducts. Eat fruits and vegetables. The key protective factors during this time are diets rich in fruits and vegetables. Antioxidants may be especially needed during a period of rapid cell growth and divisions. Eat foods that are high in protein. Protein helps breast tissue to mature more quickly, protecting against prolonged exposure to dangerous elements. Eating 20% of calories as protein is the recommendation. Don't smoke. New and convincing evidence finally demonstrates that smoking does increase the risk of breast cancer. One reason the evidence took so long to accumulate is that even girls who were exposed to passive smoke had an increased risk, leaving very few girls exposed to no smoke as a group to which comparisons could be made. Avoid chemical estrogens. The big worry is that girls, teenagers, and young women are not protected from the chemicals that can affect developing breasts and can store chemical estrogens in their breasts for a lifetime. Although the debate is far from over, I would carefully protect any child from potentially carcinogenic chemicals, including cleaning products and pesticides used for rodents, insects, and bees. Pay careful attention to posted warnings at schools, playgrounds, and other locations when pesticides are in use. Avoid food that may have high quantities of chemical estrogens. Consider soy. The allure of soy is that it may mature breast ducts earlier, making them more immune to the effects of harmful, cancer-causing substances. That's certainly been proven in animal studies. For instance, genistein matures the breast duct cells in prepubescent rats, so the potential of cells to become cancerous is minimized. Some researchers conclude that early genistein consumption is essential for protection against adult breast cancer. However, says Dr. Anna Wu of USC, it is still to be determined if there could be any harmful effects in eating soy at a young age. Clearly, over 1 billion Asian women eat soy their entire lives without any known risks. Yet laboratory experiments show that soy at this age may also cause duct cell proliferation. Until it is known whether or not that is harmful, most scientists are adopting a wait-and-see attitude. The chances are excellent that FDA-approved chemoprevention strategies will be well worked out before your teenager is at risk of contracting breast cancer, making soy less of an imperative. Warning: genistein supplements should be strictly avoided. While natural soy foods may have a real protective advantage, genistein taken alone may spur growth in breast cells. Recommendation: intergenerational breast cancer prevention is such a new field that the rules haven't even been contemplated yet. I heartily recommend all those measures that fall in line with rigorous good health to help your daughters prevent breast cancer the best way possible, with early intervention. Diets too high in calories are the major danger. The use of soy needs to be discussed with your pediatrician. Remember that just because a cancer runs in a family does not mean that cancer genes are involved. Children may be exposed to the same environmental hazards and the same poor diet and lack of exercise that put their mothers at risk for cancer. Healthy cuisines. The foods of the breast cancer prevention diet are only raw ingredients. Hundreds of millions of women around the world suffer a risk of breast cancer that is minuscule compared to Americans. They transform the foods of the breast cancer prevention diet into spectacular cuisines. That transformation has developed into a fine art over thousands of years of experimentation with herbs, spices, and food ingredients. Scientists who study these cultures and their risk of disease know that they are observing a finely controlled experiment, far better than any they could construct. These cultures have stable populations who have eaten the same foods for centuries. That means researchers can be sure these populations are really eating the foods they say they are eating, and they can also be certain that the low rates of breast cancer they observe really can be traced to the foods they eat. What they are learning is that the healthy cuisines are the perfect solution. Foods with a perfect track record embedded in cuisines that are pleasing to the palate. In my other books, I've looked at dozens of different cultures and diets. When it comes to preventing breast cancer, there are really just two cuisines that have demonstrated effectiveness: the Asian diet and the Mediterranean. The Asian diet. The Asian diet delivers the lowest breast cancer rates on Earth. Old Ways Preservation and Exchange Trust, a nonprofit food and nutrition education organization, gained international recognition for identifying cultures that offer healthy, appetizing ways to eat. Their newest project is the Asian diet, based on observations of dietary patterns in South and East Asia, from Indonesia to Korea and along the Pacific Rim. Let's look at how the Asian diet incorporates nearly every one of the principles of a breast cancer prevention diet. The Asian diet is the ultimate low-fat diet. Only 14% of the calories eaten by the Chinese come from fat, as compared to about 34 to 43% of calories eaten by Americans. The Chinese average only 34 grams of fat a day. But this low-fat diet is one that really works. Most Americans on a low-fat diet gain large amounts of weight. On an Asian diet, you truly can eat more to weigh less. That's because leanness is directly related to the composition of the diet. Why? A plant-based diet that is low in fat, low in animal protein, and high in fiber burns off more calories as body heat. In fact, the world's leanest peoples, who are healthy and not starving, based on height, weight, and skin fold measurements, are the Koreans and Japanese, according to anthropologist Stephen Bailey, Ph.D., of Tufts University. How is it possible to be so lean? Fiber is one of the Asians' biggest secrets, keeping them full and satisfied with fiber, not calories. In contrast to Americans' meager 10 grams, the Chinese average 77 grams of fiber a day. The proper Chinese diet is also a low-glucose load diet. Ironically, in 1974, both the developed and the developing world ate roughly the same amount of carbohydrates, 1,680 calories per day, but the kinds of carbohydrates were strikingly different. In the developing world, 98% of the carbos were made from cereals, roots, and other staples. In the developed world, only 62% came from those healthful foods. The rest came from fruits and sugars. Those extra calories were enough to do enormous damage. The Asian diet is also responsible for the world's longest-lived peoples. Local officials on Okinawa have kept records for over 115 years and can document that the island has more centenarians than any other country. Walk through the villages. You'll be struck that at 8 or 98, everyone remains lean and taut. You'll see six generations all living together, with the oldest still working a full day. Researchers I spoke with in Okinawa credit a spectacular diet, rich in fish and magic fruits and vegetables that combine incredible taste with spectacular nutrition. The most magic of these foods is soy, which is consumed in large quantities for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. More to the point, the basic ingredients of the Asian diet all add up to the world's lowest rates of breast cancer. Plant food is the core of the daily intake in the traditional Asian diet. Common plant foods include rice and other grains, noodles, flatbreads, potatoes, fruits, vegetables, including sea vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, various soy foods, other legumes, vegetable and nut oils, herbs and spices, and plant-based beverages including tea, wine, and beer. When eaten in sufficient amount, this healthy Asian diet provides all of the known essential vitamins, minerals, and fiber, which promote health. The biggest fault in the Asian diet is white rice, which has a high glycemic index, says Walter Willett, MD, chairman of the nutrition department at the Harvard School of Public Health. I suggest the following books for excellent suggestions on how to develop an Asian meal plan. Terrific Pacific Cookbook by Anya von Bremsen and John Welchman, Workman Publishing, 1995. China Express by Nina Simmons, William Morrow, 1993. Beyond Bok Choy by Rosa Losan Ross, Artisan, a division of Workman Publishing, 1996. Classic Chinese Cuisine by Nina Simmons, Chapters Publishers and Booksellers, 1994. Note, the meal plans section of this program will give you complete menus using the Asian diet. The Premier Mediterranean Diet. A 1948 Rockefeller Foundation study showed that adults living in regions bordering the Mediterranean Sea had the lowest rates of chronic disease in the world. Since then, study after study has shown that women in Mediterranean countries from Spain through Greece come up time and again with low rates of breast cancer. But it is the Greek island of Crete that represents the epitome of the healthy Mediterranean diet. Nancy Harmon Jenkins, nationally known food writer and author of The Mediterranean Diet Cookbook, has long studied the Mediterranean diet. The Mediterranean diet is so obviously healthy. It is full of fresh vegetables, is high in fiber, and very low in saturated fat. The next best thing is that these foods are familiar to us. It doesn't require us to make great leaps to enjoy the tradition, says Nancy. The true Mediterranean diet also has a low glucose load. Although the Mediterranean diet has been mistaken as the pasta diet, in Crete, not a lot of pasta is eaten. That's really more of an American interpretation. The Mediterranean diet, however, is not a low-fat diet. How much fat does it have? According to Old Ways Preservation and Exchange Trust, the Mediterranean diet is about 30% fat. Annie Copps of Old Ways says, "It's even healthy at as high as 40% if the person is active and the fat is mostly vegetarian-based." In Crete, the fat that is present is mostly in the form of olive oil. The more olive oil, the lower the rate of breast cancer. But there is a real need not to overdo the Mediterranean diet. In the 1960s, when it was a very modest calorie diet, it boasted the lowest incidence of overall cancer and heart disease in the world. But the Cretans have lost the heart disease edge to the Japanese. What's changed? The Cretans have nearly doubled their animal fat, potato, and egg intake while quadrupling the amount of meat they eat. Where the traditional Cretan diet was virtually all vegetarian, it is now becoming far higher in meat. The bottom line is simple. The vegetarian diet of old, laced with olive oil, is an extremely healthy choice. It is high in complex carbohydrates from grains and legumes, and high in fiber from vegetables and fruit. Fresh plants, cereals, and olive oils secure a high intake of beta-carotene, vitamin C, tocopherols, and minerals. The diet is filled with olive oil, leaves from lettuce, spinach, Swiss chard, pasta, purslane, and many different kinds of vegetables, cheeses, fruit, and wine. But as the calories climb, so do the risks. The Cretans of 1960 were indeed lean and fit. The big jump in fat intake and calories has widened their girth. In the next section, you will find Mediterranean menus prepared by Mediterranean diet cookbook author Nancy Harmon Jenkins. Recommendation: your greatest success in following a breast cancer prevention diet will lie in adopting a cuisine that has successfully protected women for hundreds of years. You have the reassurance that this is a safe diet and that these populations have the lowest breast cancer rates in the world. Eat an Asian diet if you and your doctor agree on an estrogen receptor blocker strategy based on soy. Otherwise, consider a Mediterranean diet. Eating is consuming the right foods in advance of a meeting, a workout, a nap, or concentrated intellectual effort so that you feel and perform exactly as you want. With feed-forward eating, you plan your day according to how you want to feel at a given time or for a specific activity. This is fully described in my last book, Dr. Bob Arnott's Revolutionary Weight Control Program. The reason feed-forward eating works so well is this: the brain's natural craving for foods serves to meet specific needs to make hormones and neurotransmitters, replace spent fuel stores, or rebuild damaged muscle. By the time you crave nutrients to meet those needs, you've already suffered a serious deficiency. The body signals you with urgent warnings that force you to overcorrect, which means overeating, often all of the wrong foods. In the following meal plans, you'll find lots of fun and interesting examples for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. For each meal, there are three separate categories: Asian, Mediterranean, and the New American Plan. They were methodically prepared by Nancy Jenkins and by Rita Mitchell and Barbara Sutherland of the University of California at Berkeley, who carefully included all the components described in the previous sections. Complete meal plans for breakfast, lunch, and dinner follow brief descriptions of each cuisine. Asian. These meals are rich in soy protein, fiber, and cruciferous vegetables, and are low in glucose load and fat. They are the ideal breast cancer prevention meals. They contain whole grains and approximately 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, including 2 cruciferous vegetables. They are low in fat and have about 25 to 35 grams of fiber. The Asian menus contain approximately 20% of calories as protein, 15 to 20% as fat, and 60 to 65% as carbohydrates. These meals contain soy products that are very high in genistein, which keeps the total amount of soy protein closer to 35 grams. These meals are specifically for women before the menopause who want a high soy-based diet. If you and your doctor are not enthusiastic about soy, you will want to choose meal plans from the Mediterranean or New American cuisines. Breakfast: soy smoothie, soy milk, non-fat milk, banana, calcium-fortified orange juice, rice and vegetables. Tempeh with snow peas, mushrooms, carrots. Pho: spicy soup of rice noodles, sliced tempeh, fresh bean sprouts, green onions, tomato, onions, fish sauce, coriander. Brown rice griddle cakes with curried tofu, served with fresh papaya and mango chutney. Miso soup with brown rice, giant kelp, carrot, mushroom, slivered tofu, scallions. Lunch: hearty tofu mushroom soup. Julienne strips of firm tofu, black mushrooms, button mushrooms, shiitake mushrooms, bok choy, and leeks in vegetable broth seasoned lightly with miso, oyster sauce, and rice wine. Finishing touch, orange slices in orange water. Mushu vegetable. Wrapped in a mushu wrapper is the filling of bean sprouts, black mushrooms, shredded carrots, snow peas, cabbage, and onion, garnished with plum sauce and chopped green onions. Finishing touch, pear apple slices. Vegetable tofu light stir fry. Firm tofu, snow peas, shiitake mushrooms, broccoli, water chestnuts seasoned with garlic, oil, sherry vinegar, and tamari soy sauce, and served on a bed of brown rice. Finishing touch, kiwi fruit and pear slices. Sweet and sour tofu with asparagus and radish salad. Tofu and onion in a light sweet and sour sauce served on a bed of brown rice with fresh asparagus, cauliflower, and radishes, lightly seasoned with soy sauce, sesame oil, and rice vinegar. Finishing touch, mandarin orange wedges. Tofu and vegetable noodles. Lightly stir-fried broccoli, cauliflower, bok choy, black mushrooms, onions, water chestnuts, tofu, and fresh ginger, served over buckwheat noodles, garnished with bamboo shoots and cilantro. Finishing touch, banana and dried cranberries. Dinner. Tofu curry. Tofu with tomato, carrots, onion, cauliflower, green beans, seasoned with garlic, ginger, turmeric, coriander, and cumin. Served over brown rice and topped with non-fat plain yogurt. Finishing touch, lychees and mango ice. Laotian fish soup. Freshwater fish, green onions, tomato, carrot, broccoli, fish sauce, lemongrass, lemon juice. Served with a bowl of brown rice. Finishing touch, banana baked in orange water. Sweet and sour tempeh. Tempeh with carrots, green peppers, bok choy, onion, pineapple chunks, and ginger in a tangy sweet and sour sauce. Served on a bed of brown rice. Finishing touch, homemade low-fat mango sorbet. Grilled fresh tuna with vegetables. Fresh tuna, grilled, served with a stir-fry of broccoli, cauliflower, snow peas, water chestnut, sweet red pepper, served with brown rice. Finishing touch, papaya and strawberries. Stir-fry tofu and vegetables in black bean sauce. A stir-fry of firm tofu, green beans, onions, bok choy, broccoli, mushrooms, carrots, sweet red pepper, served over a bed of rice noodles. Finishing touch, mung bean cake. Mediterranean. These menus feature the distinctive flavors of the Mediterranean. They are constructed without soy protein for those women who choose not to employ the estrogen receptor blocker strategy, or are allergic to soy, or who simply prefer Mediterranean foods. This is a higher fat diet, with the primary fats being olive oil and fish oil. You'll find approximately 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, including 2 cruciferous vegetables. They are moderate in fat and rich in omega-9 fatty acids. They contain about 25 to 35 grams of fiber. The Mediterranean menus contain approximately 20% of calories as protein, 25 to 30% as fat, and 50 to 55% as carbohydrates. Breakfast. Low-fat goat cheese with melon and figs. Toasted dense whole wheat bread. Orange juice. Low-fat artichoke frittata. Grilled Roma tomatoes garnished with fresh basil. Black olive focaccia. Grapefruit juice. Sliced fresh peaches and mixed berries topped with low-fat vanilla yogurt. Cornmeal whole wheat waffles, pineapple juice, buckwheat date crepes, topped with orange slices and low-fat vanilla yogurt, strawberry guava nectar, smoothie, low-fat vanilla yogurt, peaches, fresh orange, toasted whole wheat nut bread. Lunch. pita bread sandwich. A whole wheat pita bread filled with hummus and sweet red peppers, topped with chopped black olives, Italian parsley, and non-fat plain yogurt. Finishing touch, Fuji apple slices and figs. Hearty minestrone. Potato, carrots, celery, onion, cabbage, French beans, Italian tomato, spinach, haricot beans, garbanzo beans, and kidney beans in vegetable broth topped with a light sprinkle of fresh grated Romano cheese, served with whole wheat focaccia. Finishing touch, Basque pear slices. Spring cracked wheat salad. Asparagus, mushrooms, Italian tomatoes, red onions, dressed lightly with olive oil and balsamic vinegar, served on a bed of cracked wheat and garnished with Italian parsley. Served with whole wheat breadsticks. Finishing touch, sliced kiwi fruit and banana. Greek sandwich. 7-grain bread, brushed with olive oil, filled with pears, walnuts, romaine lettuce, and crumbled feta. Served with broccoli salad. Finishing touch, strawberries. Medley salad. Eggplant, red, yellow, and green sweet peppers, zucchini, green onions, cauliflower, lightly tossed in a yogurt garlic dressing, garnished with raisins. Served with a whole wheat roll. Finishing touch, plums. Dinners. Vegetable and bean ragu over couscous. Garbanzo beans, potato, tomato, onion, red pepper, and kale, seasoned with coriander, cinnamon, lemon, saffron. Served over couscous. Field greens with light vinaigrette. Finishing touch, apple and grapefruit slices with currants. Green cabbage stuffed with bulgur and vegetables. Cabbage leaves, bulgur, mushrooms, roasted butternut squash, onion, and raisins, seasoned with nutmeg, served with low-fat plain yogurt, baked tomato, dense whole wheat roll. Finishing touch, fresh strawberries with lemon sorbet. Bouillabaisse. Variety of fish, onion, tomato, sweet red pepper, broccoli, navy beans, seasoned with garlic, basil, saffron, served with hearty whole wheat bread. Romaine with light vinaigrette. Finishing touch, mixed berry ice. Ratatouille. A robust casserole of eggplant, onion, green pepper, zucchini, tomato, kale, sautéed in olive oil, topped with a sprinkle of fresh grated Romano cheese. Served with whole wheat French bread. Spinach salad with orange dressing. Finishing touch, minted melon slices. Linguine with lentils. Buckwheat linguine with lentils, eggplant, carrot, onion, and chard, dusted with freshly grated Parmesan cheese. Served with fresh sliced Roma tomatoes dressed lightly with olive oil. Hearty whole wheat bread. Finishing touch, plums with non-fat yogurt. New American. These menus have a mix of Asian and American foods, yet are still rich in legumes and whole grains, high in fiber and low in glucose load. The New American menus contain approximately 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, including 2 cruciferous vegetables. They have from 25 to 35 grams of fiber. The New American menus contain approximately 20% of calories as protein, 20% as fat, and 60% as carbohydrates. You're likely to find most of these foods at your local grocery store. Breakfast. Homemade muesli, low-fat plain yogurt, orange slices, grapefruit juice. Coarse-cut oatmeal sprinkled with bran, sun-dried cranberries and walnuts served with non-fat milk, orange juice. Eggs Florentine. Poached eggs served on a bed of wilted spinach, coated with a low-fat sauce, dusted with freshly grated Parmesan cheese, served with toasted hearty whole wheat bread, apple cranberry juice. Dense, grainy buckwheat pancakes, laden with fresh berries and juice, served with a glass of non-fat milk, mango guava nectar. All brand cereal with soy milk and banana, pineapple juice. Lunch. Vegetable potato salad. Potato, carrots, asparagus, shredded red cabbage, Fuji apple, red onion, parsley, on a bed of Belgian endive, lightly dressed with olive oil and balsamic vinegar. Served with a whole wheat sesame seed roll. Finishing touch, kiwi fruit. Burrito. Whole wheat tortilla filled with black beans, brown rice, broccoli flowerets, green onion, small amount of low-fat white cheddar cheese, seasoned with fresh tomato corn salsa and cilantro. Finishing touch, strawberry and orange fruit plate. Cucumber walnut soup. Cucumber, green onions, kale, non-fat plain yogurt, walnuts, seasoned with dill, garlic. Served with whole wheat bran roll. Finishing touch, lemon raspberry sorbet. Open-face sandwich. Lentil nut loaf topped with sun-dried tomatoes and a sprinkle of chopped green onion, served warm on a whole wheat baguette with a fresh spinach and red cabbage salad, dressed lightly with a tangy tofu dressing. Finishing touch, dried fig slices and non-fat vanilla yogurt. Spring salad. Baby artichoke hearts, sweet red pepper, cauliflower, mushrooms, green peas on a bed of brown rice, garnished with a light sprinkle of roasted sesame seeds and dressed with olive oil and balsamic vinegar. Served with akmak whole wheat crackers. Finishing touch, mandarin orange wedges. Dinner. Black bean and mushroom stew with polenta. Black beans and mushroom ragu with parmesan polenta. Served with a salad of arugula, butter lettuce, radicchio, shredded red cabbage, dressed with a little olive oil and lemon juice. Finishing touch. Peach slices and raspberries served with lemon sherbet. Grilled swordfish. Swordfish brushed with olive oil and grilled, garnished with roasted corn and red pepper salsa. Served with quinoa, kale, carrots, and a whole wheat roll. Finishing touch, ginger yogurt. Three bean chili. Spicy chili made with a mix of three beans, red garbanzo and cranberry, onion, celery, kale, and red chili. Served with whole wheat tortillas, mixed greens and tomato with light vinaigrette. Finishing touch, honeydew melon and blueberries. Black bean and rice soup. A hearty soup of black beans, brown rice, and vegetables, served with whole wheat bread and a spinach and orange salad tossed in olive oil and balsamic vinegar. Finishing touch, fresh figs, walnuts, and honey garnished with whipped vanilla cream cheese. Stuffed red peppers. Large red peppers stuffed with brown rice, wild rice, broccoli flowerets, green onion, and raisins, topped with low-fat cheddar cheese and served with a side of asparagus. Grainy whole wheat roll. Finishing touch. Poached apple with almond and walnuts topped with low-fat vanilla yogurt. Alternatively, you may plan your own meals from the foods and tables provided in the inserts. That's what we've done at home, simply incorporating the foods of the breast cancer prevention diet into our own meals. I'd suggest finding 10 new meals to replace your 10 favorite meals of today. Once you've mastered them, you'll then find eating the breast cancer prevention diet easy and fun, without the need to struggle with new shopping lists. You want to stick with just one cuisine rather than mixing and matching, since all of the nutrient values have been calculated for an entire day of eating the foods of just one cuisine. Supplements. A schedule for supplements follows. For breakfast, lunch, and dinner, showing how the doses of fish oil, soy, and indole-3 carbinol should be divided. At the end of the day, you'll find that you've taken 10 grams of fish oil, 60 grams of soy protein, and 500 milligrams of indole-3 carbinol. You may choose to take some or all of these supplements in consultation with your physician. Breakfast. Fish oil. 3 1-gram capsules. Soy shake, 20 grams, or flaxseed, 9 grams. Lunch: Indole-3-carbinol, 500 milligrams. Fish oil, 3 1-gram capsules. Soy shake, 20 grams, or flaxseed, 9 grams. Dinner: fish oil, 4 1-gram capsules. Soy shake, 20 grams, or flaxseed, 9 grams. Close. We are entering a new era when breast cancer can and will be prevented. Over the next 5 years, we will see spectacular results from the use of preventive drugs such as raloxifene and aromatase inhibitors for women at high risk. These prove that blocking the estrogen effect really works. But many women would rather use diet than drugs to prevent breast cancer. Others will want to add a drug's benefit to dietary adjustments. As set out at the beginning of this program, there is an extraordinary bet to be made, a bet that diet can strikingly alter your odds of developing breast cancer. An international race of great intensity is now underway to prove once and for all what every component of the breast cancer prevention diet would be. This is no frivolous exercise. Millions are being spent by governments, foundations, and institutions on the breast cancer prevention diet. You can wait a decade or longer for the final results, or you can act now on an educated guess based on research at the finest institutions in the world. It's a bet that thousands of breast cancer survivors are already making, and billions of other women around the world have already made, that diet can prevent cancer. Diet, says Deborah McCurdy. I believe it's going to keep me cancer-free and healthy and help my family from getting sick. I don't want them to have to go through what I did. I believe so strongly in this diet, in this way of eating, that when I developed pneumonia after my bone marrow transplant and I was in the hospital, I insisted on staying with the plan and the hospital went along with me. They let my family bring in fresh fruits and vegetables and my soy drinks, and the hospital prepared meals that fit into the diet. I was so motivated that even with pneumonia, I wanted to keep on eating right. I really didn't want to cheat because I was enjoying what I was eating. And I didn't cheat because I really believe in it. We're making that bet in our home. And we hope you will too.
Copyright Phoenix Audio 2006.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.